there's no time like right now. Jay Felix featuring Abby Flynn with a track called Time. Now joining me on the line is singer-songwriter Abby C. Flynn from Hove, just outside of Brighton. Abby's debut EP, Ambiguous, is out this Friday, and we have the first single of the EP, which is also entitled Ambiguous, on our A-list at the moment. It's been produced by Brighton producer Jay Felix. Abby's been working in Brighton and London over the last 10 years with a host of top musicians and producers, and she supported Roy Ayres as well. Besides having an EP released this week and being incredibly busy with gigs, Abby is also undergoing treatment from Hodgkin's lymphoma, which was diagnosed about 6 months ago, and she is also the inspirational writer of a blog called Abby Flynn Cancer Blog, which you can find online, and it's documenting the life of a 26-year-old professional singer and vices and discoveries and learning among on this journey that she's going on. Her singing video at the moment, she's got a Spread the Love video, has currently got over 83,000 page views. So hopefully she's still there after that long introduction. Hello.
Hello. Hello there. How's it going?
Oh, very, very good. Now, it's lovely to speak to you. What's it like down in Hove today?
It's gorgeous and really sunny, actually. I'm just sitting in my room, enjoying the sunshine and talking to you.
Lovely.
I'm happy.
Now, before we talk about the album, how old were you when you started singing?
I started singing my whole life, really. It's been a form of self-expression and, my way of kind of connecting to the world. But professionally, about 15, so it's been a long career already, 12 years.
And you studied a music degree, was it Brighton?
I did a Worthing music degree, actually, at Northbrook, straight out of school, because that's what I always wanted to do. And I just went straight into it, really. I loved it. Northbrook College was like a place where you can kind of do your own thing and make your own sound, and you didn't have to sound like anyone else. We had a great time.
And you've been really busy because obviously you've been working extensively down in Brighton, which has got a great music scene. It's really creative, and also London. So you've met loads and loads of people down there, and you've been doing, so you started off doing sort of cover gigs and jazz.
Yeah, so at the moment, I moved to Brighton when I was about 22 and I finished my degree. And I started getting into open mics and going and getting my voice out there as much as I could and trying to sing whatever resonated with me, because at college I touched on so many different genres, like you'd be exposed to funk and soul and disco and rock and pop. And I always loved doing all of it. So it was really about finding the niche and finding what it was that was my sound. So when I went to Brighton, I met up with a few people and met fantastic producer, Jay Felix, who's also known as Joe Newman. And we wrote some really cool tunes together. And then it wasn't for years that we sort of did anything with that. I started to do Fall in Love with Jazz completely and really sort of just gigged on the jazz scene the whole time and did some weddings and things like that. And then later on, Joe rang me up and said, oh, hey, I've been signed by True Thoughts, which is amazing. And I was finally able to start doing my own music. So, that's the backstory of Brighton. And at the moment, I'm just trying to sing with as many people as I can that move me.
Now, you were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which was about 6 months ago?
Probably about 10 months ago now, would you believe? Because it was around... It was 9 or 10 months ago, around August or September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us, because it was a complete shock, because you went along because you thought you'd had a collapsed lung or you were having sort of chest problems. So it was completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened.
So what happened was I had been gigging over July period so much, like 8 times a week. And any Brighton music, well, any musician, not just Brighton, but for some reason in Brighton, we do seem to be extra muse. Mm. We'll tell you, in July, you're just flat out gigging. You live to gig. And I was kind of feeling really uneasy in myself and struggling with a lot of social anxiety and self-worth issues. And I would cover that up by gigging as much as I could, because my voice was on form, but the rest of me was a bit, oh. So when I was on stage, I would feel really, really like myself and really inspired and like I could do something and be worthy of as a human. And when I come off stage, I'd feel really like empty and kind of uncomfortable. And so I started to kind of meditate and try and figure out what was going on, where's this imbalance. And when I did that, I started to get really weird energy, kind of pain, pangs in my chest. And I was like, oh, that feels really wrong. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Mm.
And it came out in the end as like really bad heartburn. And one night I was in agony. I couldn't sit down, couldn't lay down, couldn't sleep. And I rang up the 111 and they just said to go to A&E, which I did. But I was meant to be playing in Bristol the next day at a festival.
Yeah.
And they took they checked my heart and lungs and that was fine. They took so long to see me that I just ended up going to Bristol and then sort of doing the gig, sort of not being able to really laugh or bend over or anything like that because my chest hurts so much. I'm such a nutter. And then I got an x-ray and they said, oh, it looks like a collapsed lung. So I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, well, let's get this lung reinflated and I'll carry on.
Yep.
And eventually I ended up going for a PET scan, a CAT scan, because I didn't know what it was.
Mm.
And so when Mum and I went for the CAT scan results, I just thought they were going to say, you know, collapsed lung, this is what we need to do, because they sent me to the lung department and everything. And it's just this guy was like, you know, you might have something called lymphoma. And I was just like, what? I had no idea what he was saying. But he kept talking about a mass in my chest.
Mm.
He didn't use the word tumour. And I was really confused and kind of like, I had a gig booked in.
You did, and you did the gig as well, because I just have to let people know that Abby is actually my niece and her sister is my mum. So, but you know, we play really good music here at Phoenix FM. So you're on here because you're a good musician. So don't worry about that. But I remember you had to go. My mum was there, your nan, and you went down. You did a gig after you got the diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went straight from. Well, what happened first was I got taken to the side room and a McMillan nurse actually was sort of sat with me and she said, oh, hello, I'm a McMillan nurse, you need any support. I was sitting there stunned and my mum said, it's not cancer, is it? Could be. And she said, oh, we don't know at this point. And I was just like, I went white and I was just like, nope. And then I was like, right, I've got to get to my gig now. So thanks for the info. See you later. I went straight from the hospital. Potential diagnosis to sing on Brighton Music Hall on the beach. My mum bought me a whiskey, a double whiskey, and I sat there sipping away, sort of like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. All I knew how to do was sing. And I spent the last few months kind of really depressed, really feeling like a shell of a person, to be honest, unless I was on stage. So I just went down and I sang and I loved it. And I had this sense, this lifting sense, like, doesn't matter what happens, you're going to be fine. This is going to be fine. And people were amazing. I think they really like fed off the fact I was, for whatever reason, panicking about something under the surface. And yeah, I got loads of tips. It was really nice. And my family were there. And then 9 of my friends came to meet me on the beach. And we had a big sleepover on my lounge for all of us together. And sort of, it was a really kind of that one of those times where everyone forgets about everything else in life and just comes together and supports one another. So that was the diagnosis. And then actually I had to have a PET scan, had to have a biopsy, had to have a needle stuck in my chest where I would have to be awake and being really careful how I breathed because they can puncture your lung. that was another challenge to get over there, to like stick a mustard needle in my chest and stuff like this. And I had to get through a lot of scary things, but I just got braver and braver. And then when it came to the diagnosis, it was the scariest day of my whole life, because we didn't know if I was dying, if I had stage four or something, you know. So my mum and dad came, and I just sat absolutely terrified. And then they said, they don't know what it is exactly, but it's only stage one, they think. And they said they think it's lymphoma. So from there, I kind of just started to think, okay, what do I need to do? You know, for me, I'm a spiritual person, and a lot of people wouldn't resonate with this, but for me, you know, I'd held a lot of pain in my life, and it was always heavy chest, like, you know, not worthy, not good enough. And I had a 11 centimeter mass tumor in my chest, and it just felt like this was all linked in some way. It was, and I just started to go on a journey where I would look within and start to try and clear some of that.
And you've had so far is it 3 or 4 rounds of chemotherapy?
I've had a lot of rounds of chemotherapy. I've had 9 of ABVD, my first chemo. That didn't work. Yeah. That was a 96% chance it would work, and it didn't work. Then I had 2 rounds of ESHAP, which is very intensive, staying in hospital, and having liquid every single day, 24 hours for a whole week.
Yeah.
That didn't work either. And then, you know, then it got a little bit worrying. And now I'm on my 3rd one, which I feel really good about, so we'll see what happens.
I'm not laughing, I'm sitting here laughing, I'm not laughing at that.
You can laugh, it's good. I don't take any of it seriously. I take my health seriously in the sense that I care, but I just know that it'll be okay no matter what, even if it's not the chemo, or even if it's something else, I already know that I'm going to be cured. You know, my prognosis is going down all the time, what with these failings of chemo, but I genuinely think, I don't know, I'm really at peace. I'm very intuitive, and I meditate a lot, and I don't see it being really bad or really dark. Because to be honest, the whole journey so far, I've just learned more and more about myself. I've gone deeper and deeper. I've become a much better person. I was much more shallow before. I was much more wrapped up in ego and what people thought of me, and I was kind of desperate to be someone else. And now I'm really starting to be comfortable in my own skin. And so to me, it's all just a blessing so far. I don't have any resentment or any kind of pain behind the cancer. So I'm just going with it, really. I'm you know, if I hadn't have done this, the second chemo I had it worked, I wouldn't have got to this level of depth. And the same for going forward. Whatever happens, it's going to teach me what I need to learn, I feel. So
You've done really well, because you've worked. I mean, you've worked and worked and worked up until the very last chemo, and then you've had to just, because you had a bit of a bad reaction to the last one, and you had to go back into hospital. But up until that point, your life really, and I know you've lost your hair, but ladies and gentlemen, if you could see what she looks like without her hair, she's as stunning as she was with her hair. Some people can't rock hair, but you...
I'm on Facebook Live at the moment, so...
Oh, are you? Yeah, she rocks no hair. She looks very, very good with no hair. But you've got your album. Now, this has all happened at the same time. You've got an EP out. The track Ambiguous we've been playing here on Phoenix FM, it's on our A-list. It's a brilliant track, and I know it's getting played on loads of the other radio stations as well. So this is... Jay Felix has produced this. So tell us about the tracks on the album, and who else has been involved in, you know, sort of putting tunes with you. I know you've written it, but you've had other musicians working.
So I got involved with True Thoughts when I started to sing with Jay Felix. He's an absolutely amazing producer and artist himself, so check his stuff out. We had a couple of tunes, Patience and Time, that went they got signed, and they're on Spotify and iTunes. You've been playing them out. And shortly after that, the label approached me to do my own music with them, and I was absolutely in the moon, because favorite label in the world, love them, and I've always wanted it. And it thing is, this was 2 years ago, when I was in a really dark place with myself, and I felt like, you know, this is the opportunity of a lifetime, but I was so uncomfortable in my own skin. I didn't know how to kind of approach it. Didn't feel really good enough, to be honest. And I worked hard at it, but because true art and true music comes from the soul, and I couldn't really access my soul at that time, because I was just too lost and disconnected. It was just a little bit stoppy start, you know. And, you know, we worked on it and there wasn't any rush. But when I got cancer, suddenly this whole world opened up to me. I was like, opened the floodgates, and I just kind of knew what to do, and all this music started coming out. And that was when my label announced me, because I had a plan. And it all just went from there, really. And the EP that's coming out now is actually tunes that I was writing just before my diagnosis, when I was starting to sense that I needed to face myself and something was happening. And these tunes are kind of themed around the unworthiness I was feeling, and they're not sad, but they're like kind of like, it's got that vibe, it's upbeat, and like, you know, you can jam to it, but it's got that underlying kind of calling out for help kind of feel. Lyrically. So that's interesting that it's coming out now when a lot's changed for me, but it's a really good foundation for my first EP, because my music I'm writing now is all about the transformations I've made and what's happening with me post-cancer. Post-cancer diagnosis.
It's funny you were saying you had that feeling way before, because people often say before they get a diagnosis, they say something wasn't right, but I can't tell you what it was. So that kind of, what was ever in you, well, the cancer in you at the time, although you weren't diagnosed with it, that's probably what was causing that sort of, you know, feeling beforehand.
Yeah, well, I think it's all holistically linked completely. You know, you have things that have happened to you in your life that you might bury, and ways you feel about yourself and conditionings that you're taught to repeat over and over again. And you put that story out to the world, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm an alien, I can't do this. And, you know, then it's to do with your environment and what you eat and how you exercise, and absolutely every little thing of those, I think, accumulates and can cause cancer. And for me personally, I just really feel like I'd had so many demons with my self-worth. And anyone that knew me before would tell you, I was so, like, you know, I was really, like, lovable and hyper and all that as a teenager. But I was very desperate, very, like, needed to be in the spotlight, needed to be loved. You know, there was definitely a void that I was trying to fill all the time. And the cancer has really, really brought that out. And, I now I've transcended so much of that, and I'm just really comfortable in my own skin. And it's a really good place for me to start writing proper music that's mine and from the heart. And when I perform now, it's magical, it's moving. Before, it was a way to, it was a cry to be loved. It was a cry for attention. Now I'm just feel like I'm just channeling. When I perform, I'm just still. And, you know, my message is coming through me and my feelings are coming through me. And that's what art is. So I'm really, really glad to have got to that stage.
And you've also got your cancer blog. So I've been playing your track, I've said to people, take a look at, it's Abby Flynn cancer blog, because there it's for people of your age. You're 26, you're not very old at all, and it's about your journey with cancer. And so if other people are going through it or experiencing it and they want to have a look, there's loads of, you know, it's written in a really sensitive way. It's not scary to read. It's your journey. So it's hopefully inspiring other people of your age or younger that are going through the same thing. So you can find that on Abby Flynn cancer blog, and you keep that pretty much updated. Now your video, which is Spread the Love, has got over 83,000 page views at the moment, so that must be good for you.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was sitting having chemo in my little, I had this taste of having a sea view room. Normally I'm in a dingy older block, but they had no room, so they put me in a really posh bit.
Yeah.
Because apparently in Brighton, if you have anything other than blood cancer, then you get a really nice, really nice room.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I made the most of that for a few days, and I got a filmographer in, because her lovely Annie Murray and I are making a documentary about what I'm going through, and it is just simply to help raise awareness that you can shine in your passion and you can live your dream through your adversities, and that's what I'm doing, and I so want to get that out. This is my new life purpose now. I want to show that I am connecting to myself deeper than ever before because of cancer, because of something that would be seen as horrible or scary. To me, it's a teaching thing, and I'm not saying cancer isn't bad for other people, of course, or generally, but it's just this kind of, if you do have cancer, you do have something horrible happen to you, you don't have to submit to being an ill person. You can shine your passion through, and you can live live your truth, and in that way that you can heal yourself in some levels, you know. I'm doing chemo as well, obviously, but it helps my mindset, my emotional state. And so anyway, we got a video of me singing, and that's exactly what I was doing. I was shining through, you know, got cancer, it doesn't matter, I'm still me, I'm still spreading the love, and we can do this, you know, all of us, through anything we're going through. And that video, I think it just got really good response, because people thought, wow, you know, like, I choose love. That's why my t-shirt says choose love, because we always have that choice. We can roll over and feel sorry for ourselves, which is fine as well, and I don't say that's a bad thing, because it's a bloody hard time for people to go through, and I certainly have my moments, but I know that also I do have that choice to choose love and be light and be me. And that's my mission now. So I'm trying to set up this title of like singer, cancer survivor and activist of love. And I mean, get the word out there as much as possible.
I like that, activist of love. I think,
activist of love. I was like, can I get away with that? Well, I'll put that for now and I'll work towards it.
Yeah, she'll just say yes. Now, Con says hello. Russ has said hello. Lee has said hello as well. Also, Helen and Daniel Cronin. You know Dan, who drummer from one of your old bands. He's had an operation on his hand, so he typed, barely managed to type, saying, say hello to Abby for me.
Oh, hello. Bless him. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I know. He just wants the attention, really, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me, I've got cancer. You can't really compare.
That, yeah, you can't compete. He's trying to compete. He's just so selfish. Right now, coming up, we're going to be playing your song, Ambiguous. It is from the EP, which is out. Is it Friday? It's out?
It is out Friday the 7th of July on True Thoughts, produced by the fabulous Jay Felix. And, yes, I hope you enjoy it. I actually managed to sneak out of hospital the other day and perform at a festival, which I was really happy about. It's the first time I've done something original in ages, literally the day I left hospital. And since then, it's been like, right, EP time, pipes building up. I hope you enjoy it. And once it's out there, I've got loads more music coming and hopefully nice things happening, even though I'm on chemo as well. So we'll see.
So if you want to find out more, it's Abby C. Flynn on Facebook, also Abby the Singer on Twitter. But if you type in Abby Flynn on Google, you'll just be able to find her. And also don't forget to check out the blog.
www.facebook.com/AbbyFlynnSinger.
That's it. Lovely. And also the blog as well, Cancer Blog, Abby Flynn Cancer Blog. You can find out more details there as well.
Yes.
Lovely. Well, hopefully I'll see you soon. Nanny's coming down this week.
Oh, sweet. Let's grab an ice cream.
You grab an ice cream, come down and say, are you singing down the sea? Are you going to be singing down the seafront this week?
I don't think so, unless any slots come up. I start chemo on Monday, so I'm doing a lot of filming this week. I'm doing a film with the Disco Bunny and all kinds of cool stuff. So, I'll keep you posted.
So, if you do
normally catch me.
You do sometimes catch Abby down on the seafront at Brighton. What's it called?
Brighton Music Hall. Keep an eye on my page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with the album. This track is absolutely brilliant. I love it to pieces, and it's a really, really good track. Thanks very much to Abby Flynn, and I'll see you soon, Abs.
Thanks, Annie M. Love
you. All right. Take care. Love you too. Here's Abby Flynn with Ambiguous.
Bye.